The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Welcome to a spring break edition of Lions Roar here on KETR Lions Sports Network. We're joined at the end of our indoor track season and our men's and women's basketball seasons today with our three what I'll call best-in-class championship coaches. And we're going to recap indoor men's and women's track from the weekend in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Take a look back since we didn't last week. We'll take a look back at the LSC tournament and then postseason for the men, and wrap up women's basketball with Coach Jason Burton as well. At this time, let's welcome in our number five finish in the country, head track and field coach George Pincock. Coach, congratulations. Fifth for the men, 29th for the women, the highest finish ever for both in school history, and two national champions. Let's talk about the performance first of all, and congratulations.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. You know, anytime you have two national champions.
And it was a great weekend.
It was a great weekend, yes. It was a great weekend, two national champions, a number three all-time mark in the NCAA history, seeing the girls get on the podium in multiple different ways was just a lot of fun overall.
I thought you had a great analogy Thursday night talking about Christmas morning, compared to the way you feel going into the Lone Star meet, we're competing for a conference championship. There's a lot of work to do that weekend, a lot of tactical and strategical decisions you have to make. Compare that to the national meet. Share with our fans.
Yeah, you know, there's just something a little bit different about the national meet. And when we talked, you know, I kind of made the analogy that it's kind of like the night before Christmas. It just feels good. You know, you've made it there, and you just kind of got to wake up the next day, and you're going to get something. It may not be exactly what you want, but there's still a gift. There's still a gift there waiting for you. So, you know, there's less planning in terms of strategy. You know, we try to bring the racehorses to the race and let them race. And that's kind of a little bit easier on us as coaches at the national championship than some of all the tactical and strategic things that go into a conference championship and being competitive against other great teams like that.
And I got to jump in here. You said that on Thursday night, and then about halfway through Friday afternoon, you came to me and you said it was a little bit different. Tell me about that.
Halfway through Friday afternoon, it was still good Friday afternoon. Some things didn't go quite as we wanted, but I think we were still in a really good spot. There was one point on Saturday afternoon where I said I wasn't expecting to get coal. Felt like I got a little coal on Saturday. But, you know, at the end of the day, we had a great track meet. Everyone performed exactly how we wanted them to, and we walked away as a fifth-place team in the nation on the men's side, and that's nothing I'll ever be ashamed of and nothing our athletes should be ashamed of.
And we left some points on the track, as you said, but then the way the meet falls, we won two national championships after 7:30 Saturday night. So that – and it's really funny. First of all, when we're looking back and armchair quarterbacking a fifth place national finish, as we talked about in our executive team meeting this morning, that's a testament to what you've done with the program, what our mission and our mindset is in this entire department. And I think that's a huge opportunity for us. But one thing in looking back at that ranking and that opportunity on the men's side, talk about your two national champions, our triple jumper, Devontae Steele, very familiar with being on the top of the medal stand in that facility, and then also the mile relay, which 3:08, that's probably even faster than the four of us could
I'm
do.
Not sure my car could do that some days.
Yeah,
you know. We couldn't run an 800. Yeah.
Devontae, he likes to jump at Pittsburgh State. You know, that's where he won his first title. In 2016. So I think going back this year kind of meant something to him. You know, he, after winning that title in 2016, he was a little banged up going into the outdoor meet that year and finished, I think he was fourth or fifth outdoor that year. Then last season, he didn't have a bad season. He just had a good season, so he was an All-American, finished top five in triple jump indoor and outdoor. But it just wasn't what he wanted to. So I think he came back this year determined to be at the top of the podium and to be well ahead of the competition. So when we got to Pittsburgh State, he was as focused as I've ever seen Devontae Steele. And when you see Devontae Steele focused, you know that there's a song playing in his head and he's kind of got a little bounce to him. And he's kind of dancing on the infield, and that's when you need to be careful because he's going to bring something. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did. He got out there, and he was leading after the first jump, leading after the second jump, kind of put it out of touch after the third jump. And then we briefly talked in between the prelims there, the first two, three rounds and the finals. And our talk was put it even further out of touch.
Yeah.
Don't leave any doubt. And he finished his last jump 16 meters 25, which is just over 53 feet. And I think second place was almost a half meter behind.
This is where we jump in now. Yeah. This is good. His first jump of the day, he was the last one to go, 15:59. That would have won the meet right there. First jump would have won by 4 centimeters. Second place finish was 15:55. That's 51 feet and a quarter of an inch. Devontae went 16:11 in the third round. That's the school record then. It was a facility record. It matched what would have won last year. 52 foot, 10 and a quarter. His sixth jump was 16.25. That's 53.3 and a quarter. That's 2 feet and 3 inches farther than the next closest guy.
And wouldn't he have finished, if his multiple jump, wouldn't he finish 1 through 5?
Let's see. I've got one.
I was looking at
one,
that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, every single one of them would have won the meet.
So he would have placed 1 through 6.
We could have
used
those points.
Yeah. That's how. That's where I'm coming from. He would have won He would have placed in the top 6.
Yeah.
No, he would have been the top 6.
Yeah. His first jump was his shortest, and it would have won the meet by 4 centimeters.
And his record jump is also a foot longer than Jason Burton's career triple jump record. Just
combined career.
Of all the times he's tried it. So talk about the women. I don't want to leave that on the shelf from my first season here 3 seasons ago. I think we took one, I may have this wrong, one runner and one thrower to nationals.
I believe indoors we only took a high jumper.
Okay.
And then last year we took a thrower.
Okay.
And a triple jumper. So
we took one field event in 15, and now we place the 29th in the country, which means obviously we had multiple female athletes competing. Talk about what's happened there on the growth and development on the women's side.
You know, I think really it's just we've had time for the girls to kind of mature and understand that they're just as capable as our men's program. You know, Cameron McKee has been a huge part of that. This is her senior year. She went to outdoor nationals as a freshman in the 400, and then kind of has always just been right on the bubble as an individual. But this year, you know, she came in and led that entire group. She got in as an individual. She led that relay, and they just believed in what they could do. That's all they did. It was nothing, quote unquote, special. It was just, you know, they came day in and day out with the belief that they deserved to be there in March.
8 first team on the men's side, 3 second team. So 11 All-Americans on the men's side, 5 first team All-Americans on the women's side. Obviously, 4 of those being on our mile relay. Talk about just that statistic alone to me just says a tremendous amount about where we've come in a pretty short time when you have double digit. As we joked about again Friday night at Chili's, it's really nice to go to the national meet and not just take your qualifier to dinner at a table for 4. We had to block out a whole section.
It took us a while to get a table for all of our qualifiers.
When you have a team dinner at a national meet in track and field, that's a pretty good.
It makes it fun. You know, again, I think after Florian had his mishap and he fell in the hurdles, you know, I think we were all kind of shocked. But me and you, we spoke briefly and you said, you know, that's not our only pony in this show. It's not like we're packing up the van and going home disappointed. We still had a great performance and we had people to back it up. Florin came back and backed it up, you know.
Oh yeah, that pole vault run after that was,
you know, he went from leading the competition to last place and he was on pace to break the record.
Yeah, if he'd put up his LSC time in the hurdles, he would have the highest mark in Division II history.
So, you know, I think he was heartbroken about that, but he came back and PR'd in the pole vault, beat the rest of the field by a good distance, and then came back and had another PR in the 1,000 meters to end the day. So it's just great to have people that want to compete and to have a group that wants to compete for each other.
Yep.
And, you know, I think when that happens, you start ending up with some of those double-digit All-Americans. Doesn't matter if it's first team or second team, it's still an All-American, and you earn that and you deserve it.
Congratulations, LSC Coach of the Year, Regional Coach of the Year. Had some terrific honors there at the end of the year, and we're going to let you take the rest of the week off and get ready for outdoor.
All right. Thank
How
you,
about
Tim.
That? George, thanks Chris. So much for coming in. We'll be back on segment two in Lions Roar with men's and women's basketball.
The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
Back on Lions Roar here on KETR and the Lions Sports Network, joined now by our two favorite basketball coaches on campus, Jason Burt and Jarrett Von Rosenberg. Into year one for men's basketball, finishes Reggie Reed, second team All-Region, just announced yesterday. First NCAA win in 13 years, 22-9. Really, really proud of that. On the women's side, great news yesterday, Brianna Wise, first team All-Region to cap off an illustrious career and helping change a culture that finished 18-12 and third in a very, very competitive Lone Star Conference, as we saw by virtue of the fact that Angelo State and WT both advanced in the NCAA tournament. We'll talk about some of that. One thing I want to jump in on the men's side first. We riding back together yesterday, and you actually pointed out to me, so it just continues to hit home. Not only congratulations, 22 wins in year one, very, very impressive, but of our 31 games, we only played 11 of them in the field house. So that basically means you won twice the amount of home opportunities you even had. And I think with bringing in 10 new guys and meshing them with a couple of returners, that's hard enough to do. But when you're on the road or playing on neutral sites for most of it, just talk about what that meant to you.
Well, I think, obviously looking back, it's still fresh getting back from Canyon just yesterday. But, you know, looking back, playing 20 road games and not all true road games, you know, we had some neutral site in there. But I think that gave, you know, talking about a group of 10 new guys mixing with two returners that were, you know, new to this program and how we were doing things. I think in a way, if you want to flip the script, that maybe helped us a little bit early, getting some camaraderie, knowing that it's kind of us against the opponent and the crowd. And, you know, going to the first weekend in November 10th, winning in overtime, you know, shooting 100% in that overtime period and finding a way to get it done early on the road was big for just our maturity as a team and a group. And I think just from that weekend on, it just carried, and, you know, it was kind of Lions against the world when we were on the road.
Let's talk about, because our women's season ended a week earlier than we would have liked, but a lot of positive. I mean, this is a team that you overcame some injuries and just never, as we said in our end of your meeting, the rotation of injuries just did never fall right for what,
yeah.
If we have to have injuries, the rotation never felt right, but 18-12, leading the conference more than halfway into the race, just so many positives to build on, because there's the cupboard certainly isn't bare with what we have returning.
Yeah, I think a lot of positives, and I think, I mean, we opened the gate, look back at the season and look at the opening weekend, and the three teams we played opening weekend all made the NCAA tournament. One of them still playing right now,
right,
going to the Elite Eight. And so to go 18-12 in a very, very tough schedule with injuries and everything else that's happened was really impressed. And then you go back and look at, you know, Brianna Wise, who's the second all-region player in our school's history, and our win at at UTSA. I mean, that's some big-time things that happened this year, and a lot to continue to build on. And then we have, you know, Princess Davis, who I think, you know, we finished third team all conference, but I thought played a lot better than that, especially down the stretch. Just her play was incredible. How she completely took over some games, especially when our Tasia Gay was out with injuries and things like that. She's a player that is definitely special, and we continue to put the right pieces around her. This program's gonna continue to go up.
Getting that first taste of regional, because again, you'll lose some key senior components. So two part question: talk about those seniors, both the ones you recruited and the two you inherited, but then also just overall, the the guys that are returning getting that postseason experience and having success in the postseason?
Absolutely. You know, starting with the seniors first, you know, obviously, Tim, you're in the locker room, and, you know, I just said thank you to those guys because, you know, it is hard. You know, the two guys decided to come play for a first-year head coach and, you know, listen to me talk about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and how we're going to be successful, but there's still an unknown component in that. And then the two guys that were on this roster from Coach Walker that had played in the postseason last year had to adjust how they played, their roles on the team, and accept a new coach coming in. And I couldn't – all I could say, all I could get out of my mouth was thank you for just letting me have that opportunity and not fighting it. And those guys didn't fight it. They jumped on board from day one. And that's how you are successful early, when you have upperclassmen leadership that accepts what's going on and gives everything they have to make it work as a group. Because, you know, two of those guys didn't start every game, didn't play as many minutes as, you know, they maybe wanted to, and guys bouncing inside the lineup. But, you know, whenever I wrote the five starters on the board, everyone looked and nodded their head and said, let's go to war with this group of guys and let's try to get a win. And I just, you know, can't thank them enough for what they did for me, for this program early in our career here. And then, you know, talking about the returners, I'm really excited about the mix we have coming back. You know, bring back four juniors that all had significant contributions, as well as three freshmen that all got a taste, and that we're very excited about them having a year of off-season summer work and then getting back as sophomores and hopefully having a lot more contributions to us winning next year. It's just the future's bright, and, you know, we'll do our jobs as coaches to go identify the right student athletes to fit in that mix that are going to continue that culture of unselfishness and team and we and us and our.
This is going to be an interesting one, because especially because you guys have known each other forever. You coach together. You get to see – you practice back-to-back a fair amount. You're on the road in the same gyms. You get to see a fair amount of each other's games. Coach Burton, from your perspective, having been a first-year head coach and seeing him as a first-year head coach, what did you see this season?
That's one of the most impressive coaching displays that I've seen, and I've been around a lot of good basketball. I say he hit the ground running because he knows how important recruiting is, and so just the players that he was continuing to bring in, and I pretty much had a chance to sit down and talk with all of them. He brought most of the recruits by and
oh, that's what happened. Yeah,
I like know, how he's getting his piece of the pie.
I know I was his recruiting coordinator, so I'm just trying to take a small piece of the credit for this regional tournament.
They're littered across campus. They're all working.
Yeah. But no, it's super impressive just from start to finish, because how he started the year with just the hot streak he had, and then to maintain that through the postseason is really impressive, especially in year one.
And then from your perspective, getting to see their games and everything, talk about what you saw out of their season. Well, I like that coach's perspective of a close but not mm-hmm. my team.
Well, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny. We were talking about yesterday on the road coming back, and we already talked about it in this broadcast.
Was that before Whataburger in Wichita Falls or after?
I can't remember. Before. Let's go before. Yeah. I think we were comatose after that double meat cheeseburger. No, but, you know, talk about injuries and – he's, you know, you talk about 18 and 12, 22 and 9. That's four games difference. It's not a big difference. It's really not. In a season where your talent is X and you can always be a plus or minus 5. I believe that, depending on how things fall and close games, whatnot. But that was one thing that we were extremely lucky with, is that we had the eight players that played the majority of the minutes, averaged over 20 minutes a game. We only had one of those eight that missed more than two games. So we had probably four missed games total by those eight players, and we were able to stay healthy. And you know, that's a key to – and you can't – I don't know how you coach it. I'm not superstitious. So, you know, Doran Armstrong goes down last year at a practice before the NCAA regional. You know, what happens if he doesn't get hurt? Well, you know, we live in a world you can't go back. You can't – you know, it is what it is, and you got to try to move forward. As Colby, our illustrious football coach, always talks about, you know, next man up, it's another opportunity. But that's where we were so fortunate this year. And, you know, I've been following Jason and his teams since he got became the head coach here from afar. And he hasn't gotten that break yet as far as having all the pieces that you need. And that's, you know, but he – you know, I follow a lot of what, and I watch a lot of practice more than I've done at any other place. But I'm really excited watching him. His young girls, his freshmen and young players, and they got a lot of opportunities this year, more so than our group, which, you know, hopefully that'll come in the future. But, you know, I'm really excited about his young girls, and they're so great to our, you know, they come watch practice. They come watch our practice. They talk to us. They engage with the coaching staff, the players, and you know, his group talks about family all the time, and they extend that to our group, which I think helps bring in two newcomers and make them feel comfortable. And, you know, so yeah, it's just it's an honor, privilege to work next to this guy and just be a part. We're a part of the same group, even though it's two different sports.
From my perspective, there's only one other AD in this league that gets to say his basketball teams combined for 40 wins. And so now, and we both talked about this in our initial end-of-year meetings, you know, you guys have both elevated it or in the process of elevating it from good to great. And so now, from an AD's perspective, I've got to do what we can to keep it built to last and help you guys do that. And I think one thing you guys both do is you value those balanced classes. It's not all transfer. It's not all freshmen. And maybe without even knowing it, having unfortunately been in the last locker room of the year with both of you, there wasn't a we should have done this or that. You both literally said thank you to those seniors that made an impact, you know. And we said goodbye to a lot of blood in the bricks on both sides this year. Talk a little bit specifically. I know we did already once, but in advance of senior day, but for you, talk about, I mean, those that, you know, this class has now been with you the whole time.
Yeah, we had a really, really, really special senior class, and I'll start with Artesia Gay, who has been with me since I've been here, and to have a player like her who started her career, and we've had our, you know, you have your growing pains early and your bumps and your bruises early, but just to see her maturity over 4 years and the player that she finished being the third all-time leading scorer in school history, and so many other accolades that she's picked up, but how she's evolved into somebody that didn't want to lead early on to somebody that was such a positive voice in our locker room and positive person on our team, and then to bring in somebody like Brianna Wise, who is so talented and kind of took less of a scoring role her first year and was all defensive team her first year, and then, you know, she turns around and leads the conference in scoring for most of the year this year and is an all-region player, and how she's been able to just form relationships. And she's such a huge fan of just basketball and period. Like, you watch her Twitter and she's like, well, LSU basketball's over yesterday, because, you know, she's still watching West Texas play, and she's the one person, and all of our girls did it, but wants to know what's going on with the men's team and is their biggest supporter. She's just such a A&M Commerce. She's got so much blood here in the bricks in a short period of time, but she's got so much pride in this university. And then Melanie Ransom, and who chose to come here for grad school and chose us over an ACC school. I mean, that's incredible, and had such a good year for us. And then Lauren Parker as well, who I wish she didn't get injured last year, but that's one of those players we talked about who tore ACL and was out for the year, but came back and just had a solid year. And a lot of what she does is just, it's not in the stat sheet. It's who she is off the court. It's how she is in the locker room and how she is in practice, and it's the toughness that she shows playing through injuries, and never complains about anything, is always on top of her stuff. We had a really good senior class, and it makes our jobs so much easier when you have good quality leaders, because, you know, you're trusting 18 to 22 year olds or 23 year olds in Division II to, you know, for your livelihood. And when you have a senior class that is was as solid as ours was, it makes it a lot easier for us to do our job and for us to have success.
You know, defining and refining roles throughout the year, I think both of you did, whether it's by injury or depth or just learning your roster, both did a good job with that. Just very briefly as we wrap up, talk about, you know, what the theme of end of season meetings are and what the, you know, the off season plan is. Obviously for you, it's your first full off season here. I think probably about this week last year, we were just starting the interview process and planning it out and all of that. And we, but now that you've got it, by the way, Coach Rose, congratulations, moving into the second coolest neighborhood in Commerce now. Right across the street from Coach Carthel, which I'm not sure why I promoted or allowed that to happen, but anyway.
There won't be any fun had on that street.
And you can come visit the coolest neighborhood anytime you want. You've lived in the coolest neighborhood. You've lived there for a little while.
I feel like I've lived in a lot of neighborhoods in a short time here.
That's not an exclusive
I'm trying to be a man of the people.
And we're out. No, talk about end of season, off season planning. Obviously, I know you guys are leaving here and getting right back on the recruiting trail. But what was the end of season meeting themes, or what will they be?
Ours are going to take place next week after spring break. But a lot of our theme is growth. This is a big off season for us. You know, he touched on it. We have a lot of young players that are returning, and so the development of them. I thought we had three freshmen that got significant playing time this year, and Jocelyn Pierce, who really, really shined toward the end. She's going to have such a bigger role next year. Is really. We've seen what they can do on the floor, but now really trying to hone in on some of those skills and still young in other places. You know, with Jenna Price is only a junior now, and so a lot of development, a lot of getting stronger. That's one of the big things with freshmen is just you come in and you're throwing the fire, and you don't realize how much faster and stronger people are than you. And so having a full off season, spring, summer, and fall to really get stronger, really get faster, and now they know, you know. It's one thing to say you got to get faster, but now when you get banged up by 23-year-olds all season, you realize, okay, I really have to get stronger. And so, developing skill sets and really getting stronger in the weight room with those. And then, you know, we still have to go out and recruit, and we've been out last week. Unfortunately, we weren't playing, so we were able to see some regional tournaments, and we'll hit the National JUCO tournament next week and be able to bring in some more pieces that can provide immediate impact. But very excited about the class we have coming back, and I think that they're ready to get back into work mode.
Absolutely. So I met with my staff briefly this morning. We're obviously going to try to regroup here over the next few days. Think about what we need to do next season, and then we'll have our end of the season wrap up meetings. Looking forward to next year, the following Monday. You know, it's so big for us, and it's exciting for me, myself, and our whole staff is that, you know, we really started this thing September 1 last year as far as, you know, how we were going to build our culture, how we were going to build our offense, how we're going to build a defense, and those type of things. And it's exciting to know that we've got a lot of winners in that locker room coming back that can help us with that from now moving forward for the rest of my time here. And that's what we always want to do. But we've got two all-conference players coming back, and obviously Reggie Reed got second-team all-region this year, which we're excited about. So we're going to be able to, you know, go out and recruit and be able to identify. We're not necessarily going after the most talented player at a certain position, but we got to find a mix that will fit with what we have in our culture. We can't start over from scratch, and that's a benefit to us, and that'll hopefully pay dividends down the road. But like Jason just alluded to, it's a huge off season. All those freshmen and even the juniors, you know, everyone. I think your two biggest years of growth in college basketball is what my first college coach told me is your freshman to sophomore year and your junior to senior year. Those need to be the two biggest strides you take in your basketball abilities. And so we're full of group of kids that they're going in their senior year, their last hurrah, last 30 whatever games they have an opportunity to play. And so they're going to be hungry. And then you talk about freshmen that didn't get a lot of playing time but have been through the fire and seen it up close and personal and know what it takes to have a chance to get on that court and earn their spot. And so they're going to be hungry. And so I think we'll have a very hungry group that's going to, I mean, we lost nine games. We lost to six teams, though. We lost to West Texas three times. We've got to be hungry and almost bitter a little bit about what we're trying to do. And, you know, now that we've made the NCAA tournament, now we've set the bar that, you know, that's the expectation we want to have. But, you know, we're trying to build this thing to continue to go up and continue to do more.
And as we wrap up, just a couple thoughts. You know, third place finish for the women with the win over regional finalist as we tape this. Fourth place finish, but a win over at least an Elite Eight team, guaranteed.
Yeah.
So a lot of building blocks. Appreciate the job you guys do. Certainly your program and your values represent best in class in our department, and can't thank you guys enough.
Thank you. Appreciate
thank you
guys.
Yep.
As we wrap up this weekend, softball at home.
Against Permian Basin Friday
and
Saturday.
Basin Friday at 7, Saturday
finishing
at 1.
The February 7th game against St. Ed's tomorrow morning in Austin. So we're currently, for what, 7 weeks now, we've been up 2-0 in the top of the fifth inning. So we may
well,
wind
think
up.
We have time to put that away.
Yeah, we might retroactively have a 13-game winning streak now. But wow. It might also get split. So that game is still February 7th. That's what's weird about that sport.
And then they play a doubleheader.
And then they play a doubleheader. Right
parts after. Of three games tomorrow.
Yes. In Austin.
Fun day. And then apparently we just earned tracks on the road this weekend. For
yes, track it.
Limited squad roster.
Kingsville.
Yes. So appreciate it. We'll be back this time next week on Lions Roar.